are listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Well, a diving accident in 1967 left Mrs. Tada a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. And after 2 years of rehabilitation, Johnny re-entered the community with new skills and a fresh determination to help others in similar situations. Of course, Johnny wrote of her experience in her international best-selling biography, Johnny. Her name is now recognized in countries around the world, following the distribution in many languages of her biography, and of course the full-length feature film, Johnny. She has personally visited over 41 countries and is the founder of Johnny and Friends, an organization accelerating Christian ministry in the disability community. Wow, there's a mouthful for you. I don't think I could do all that in the life that this woman has had. Johnny, it is such an honor to speak with you today. Thank you.
Well, Drew, good to talk with you and, of course, all our friends across Canada. Thanks for having me on.
Last time you were on our show, we did a little surprise for a gentleman in a wheelchair who he was in the middle of sharing his story, his testimony, and we just totally surprised him by having you on a phone in the background. And he fell apart. He was just an emotional wreck. Maybe that was cruel of us to do that. But.
Well, you know, I think when anybody has a disability, and as you mentioned, I'm a quadriplegic in a wheelchair, almost 40 years. I can't believe it. When you get a chance to connect with somebody else going through a tough time, it's that mutual encouragement. It's that lifting up of each other that really energizes our hearts. So thanks for having set that up some time back.
It was fun. Paul Marshall was just floored by it. So listen, Johnny, tell us how a crab intervened in your life. If I understand things right, Baltimore, you're 17, your bags are packed, you're ready for college, your sister and you go down to Chesapeake Bay Beach, and what happens?
Well, it was a beautiful, hot summer day, and my sister and I waded into the water. I spotted a raft that was anchored pretty far offshore. I swam out to it, hoisted myself up onto it, and took this really stupid dive into what ended up being very shallow water. I hit my head on the bottom. That crunched, cracked my vertebrae in my neck, crushing my spinal cord. I was floating face down in the water, but my sister was in the shallow end of the bay. She was just about ready to step out of the water and go up onto the beach when a crab, a little Chesapeake Bay blue crab, bit her toe. It so alarmed her that she whirled around in the water to scream to me to watch out for crabs. And, Drew, the miracle is, had she not turned around at that instant, I would have drowned. But because that crab got her attention and she wanted to warn me, she saw that I was floating face down in the water. She quickly came through the water, swimming fast to rescue me. She pulled me up out of the water and kept me from drowning. So as I often tell people, every time I eat crab salad sandwiches, I always thank God for those little guys. They're
sure
part of his sovereign agent to have rescued this 17-year-old kid from a certain death.
Well, Johnny, of course, then you're off to the hospital, and one thing leads to another. And one thing I want to ask you personally here is, when your Jesus friends came to visit you in the hospital, and the whole 1 Thessalonians 5:18 thing started happening, you know, and everything give thanks. Like, did you want to slap them in the head if you could have?
Oh, my goodness. In fact, I told several friends to get out of my hospital room. They shared with me from the Bible, which was okay, but there was this one particular verse, you just mentioned it, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It says there, in everything give thanks. And I said to my friends, you've got to be crazy. How in the world am I supposed to be thankful being a paralyzed quadriplegic with no use of my hands or my legs? God can't expect me to do that. And my friend stopped me and said, Johnny, read the verse again. It doesn't say in everything you have to feel thankful. It says in everything give thanks. It has nothing to do with your emotions, but everything to do with taking your will, stepping out in faith, gritting your teeth as you have to, and trusting that ultimately God will use your attitude of gratitude to well up within you a true miracle of emotional transformation. And when I began to give thanks, grit my teeth and say, okay, God, I give thanks that at least I'm sitting up in a wheelchair and not stuck in bed. I give thanks that my friends are still coming to visit me. I give thanks that my parents are supporting me as I stepped out in faith with my will based on the Word of God, he then began to well up within me the emotion of thankfulness about a month or two later. And that was, I think, the beginning of chasing away the clouds of depression and moving forward into a future that was a lot brighter than I ever anticipated.
But, Johnny, you wanted to die. I mean, I heard you say things like, I was shaking my head ferociously so my, you know, neck would break, or I wanted to buy this souped-up wheelchair and kind of rock it into the, you know, off the curb into the street, and I don't know, whatever. You wanted to die.
Oh, sure. I think any of our listeners can understand. Just picture, just imagine that in the next instant you were struck with some kind of accident, or you fell, or you tripped, or you're in your car listening to us speak right now, and there was an automobile crash. If you had to face, within the next instant, complete and total paralysis with no use of your hands or legs, you too would want to end your life. And I think that's why I'm so earnest these days about preventing any kind of assisted suicide laws from passing, at least in my state of California. I know that my friend Mark Pickup there in Canada is working hard to prevent assisted suicide from becoming the norm in your wonderful country, because my problem back then wasn't necessarily my quadriplegia. My problem was depression, and depression can be cured. And so I'm just grateful that there were friends who came to my hospital who kept me connected to reality. They ascribed positive meaning to my affliction. They helped me slowly make sense from God's word as to what his plan might be for my life. They supported me. They kept me from social isolation. They listened to me. They prayed over me, prayed with me. And it was that caring compassion that really turned my life around.
Did you want to get up this morning? Did you want to live this morning? Because I know that's been a battle for you.
Oh, my goodness, Drew. I can't believe you asked that question. Because this morning, honestly, I guess it was about 4 or 5 hours ago when I got up. I woke up, and I knew my two girlfriends were coming in on a Saturday morning to get me up, give me a bed bath, exercise my legs, slip on my jeans, sit me up in a wheelchair, brush my teeth, blow my nose, brush my hair, give me breakfast. And before they even came in my bedroom and I heard the click through the front door, I knew they were in the kitchen running water for coffee and getting ready to greet the morning with me. I woke up and I'm thinking to myself, oh, God, I have no energy for this day. I have no strength for this day. I am so weary. How am I going to make it until lunchtime? Part of my reason of struggling when I get up in the morning is that I'm in also a lot of pain. Being in my late 50s, I deal with a little bit more pain now than I used to. But my thought was, Lord Jesus, these people are coming to get me up. I've got to be able to give them a smile. They could be down at the local Starbucks having coffee with their friends, but they're here helping me. So, God, I have no smile for them, but you do. I have no energy to face this day, but you do. I can't make it through this Saturday afternoon, but you can. And you tell me that through you, I can do all things as you strengthen me. So, God, give me your smile. Give me your strength. Give me your energy for this day. And, Drew, honestly, before those girls came in my bedroom this morning, I had a brighter attitude about the day. And, frankly, I think the really handicapped people are the ones who, when they wake up, they just jump out of bed, take a fast shower, scarf down breakfast, and zoom out the front door on automatic cruise control. And God says, no. If you live like that, then I'll resist you. I oppose the proud, he says, but I give grace to the humble. So I think the way I just described me getting up, you know, going to God out of desperate need for his help and his grace, I think that's the Christian way to live. I think that's the biblical way to get up in the morning. And so, friends listening, boast in your weakness, delight in the infirmity and in the limitation. Because the biblical promise is then that God's power will rest on you, right, Drew?
Exactly. Folks, we're speaking with Johnny Erickson Tata. Johnny, when was the last really, really, really dark time for you?
Oh, that's a good question, too. I would say it was back in January and February of this year.
Does that have to do with the back pain you're experiencing?
Exactly. I don't know how to describe it, but even though I'm a quadriplegic, I can't move, and I have no feeling, I do have interior pain. I don't know how to explain it, but I can feel pain on the inside. And in January, my pain became so debilitating that I could not even sit up in a wheelchair. Mm. I could only lay in bed for about 2.5 months. And there were some very, very dark times where I just felt as though, like giving up. I felt like, God, please take me home. I am of no use to anybody like this. I'm in bed, bedridden, and in pain. I can't move. Lord God, please, just isn't this time to go home? But thankfully, I have a great husband who sat by my bedside at night, and he read scriptures to me, and I read some incredible things about how in the midst of our suffering we can enter into a deeper union and fellowship with Jesus Christ, who invited us to share in the fellowship of his sufferings in Philippians chapter 3 verses 8-10. And so I began to see that 2.5 months in bed as a way of perhaps walking deeper into the inner sanctum of that special fellowship of sharing in Christ's sufferings. And, Drew, I can't explain it, but I just got so much closer to Jesus. It was as though my back pain drove me down the road to the cross, where otherwise I would not have been naturally inclined to go. And at the cross, I was able to sense so much more of his power and presence and his peace. And I think I'm all the richer, all the better, all the wiser for it now. I don't think I want to go through that again.
No.
And I'm being very careful so as to not injure myself. I'm addressing scoliosis issues and things of that sort so that I can continue to sit up without having to go back in bed with pain. But I am so thankful. Wouldn't want to live it again, but I am thankful for those 2.5 months earlier this year.
Well, Johnny, this diving accident happened when you're 17. Did you have much of a dating life before then?
Well, you know, in high school, I had my girlfriends. I had a group of guys that I liked to pal around with. And sure, there was one special guy. And, I did.
The normal scene, the normal stuff, right?
The normal stuff. And then after my diving accident, I really didn't date much. I didn't go out with any young men.
No. Well, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, I'm trying to process this from your point of view and thinking dating life. Like, did you think you were going to go unloved by a man for the rest of your life? I mean, were you worried that guys were going to treat you as some sort of a pity project? And then when the novelty wore off and the realization that their lives would be literally have to be, they'd have to lay down their lives to serve you, they'd be out of there probably.
Bingo. Boy, you sound like a rehab counselor. That was a pretty astute observation of what my life was like. I think that young men were just afraid of me, to be quite honest. Mm. Either that or, yeah, it was a little bit of the pity, the poor unfortunate. You know, guys looked at me as a project, somebody to rescue. And so by my mid-20s, late-20s, I realized that perhaps God was giving me the gift of just being single. So I relaxed into that mode, and I enjoyed my single years throughout my late 20s. But in my early 30s, things changed. One day when I was sitting in church, we had a visiting speaker who just really wasn't too interesting, and so I decided to pray.
It was that missionary Sunday, was it?
Anyway, I was sitting in church, and I start praying for the back of this man's head, sitting about 5 pews in front of me. I didn't see his face, couldn't see if he was good-looking, didn't know if he was wearing a wedding ring. But I prayed for him. I just felt compelled to pray for him. Well, it turned out about a couple of months later, we were introduced through mutual friends, and the first thing I said to Ken Tata, this man to whom I was introduced, I said, "Turn around and let me see the back of your head." And it was him. It was the same guy. I couldn't believe it. And to make a long story short, this man, Ken Tata, and I are going to be coming up on 25 years of marriage next year.
That's tremendous.
What a special guy he is.
Oh, well, you know, and like the other thing I'm trying to figure out with this this whole paralysis, wheelchair lifestyle, and is there a life expectancy issue surrounding the accident and your paralysis? Is there anything that sort of says, look, why would you get involved in marriage and love when you may not be around that long? Anything like that at all?
Well, someone just asked me that question this week. They were asking about the life expectancy statistics of high-level spinal cord injured quadriplegic.
Right, yeah.
And back earlier in my experience in a wheelchair, you're right, my life expectancy was really short. But here I am coming up on 40 years of living as a quadriplegic, and I am outliving the statistics. Usually quads like me succumb to bladder infections or pneumonia. But here I am. I'm still sitting up in the wheelchair. I'm smiling. I'm talking to you, Drew.
Way to go, God.
I know. Way to go. And I thank him for the miracle. I think every day that I am in this wheelchair, sitting up and facing life forward, is a miracle. It's a blessing. It's a gift from God. So I know I'm living on borrowed time. I think all of us are living on borrowed time, frankly, but for me in this wheelchair, I'm more keenly aware of it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I get that. Here's one of the funniest quotes I think I've ever heard. Our honeymoon was like a handicap awareness week.
Yeah, my husband had to discover a lot of things about my personal care routines and just what it was like to get me up in the morning and help me to bed. And even our life of physical intimacy, you know, you have to be a little creative and... But, you know, I am so grateful, I am so glad that that my husband and I enjoy a sweeter, deeper, richer communion and communication together, again, because of this wheelchair. We cannot ignore problems. We have to resolve issues because our lives are so intertwined physically. We just have to get our conflicts resolved. And so in this way, both Ken and I look at this wheelchair as a blessing of a bruising. It's a strange companion, this wheelchair, which forces a deeper and more honest and more transparent unity between us. So for that, we're truly thankful.
Well, my wife and I can use that exact same quote, and neither of us are in a wheelchair. Our honeymoon was like a handicap awareness week. It's horrible. You know the dumbest thing I did on our honeymoon? This is the dumbest guy move ever.
What's that?
I introduced my wife to my ex-girlfriend.
No.
Yeah, intentionally. Like I used to live in California, and I was up near Woodlake, Visalia area, and I intentionally drove my new wife to my old girlfriend's house, you know, sort of knocked on the door and said, hey, look what I got.
What were you thinking?
Oh, what an idiot. An absolute dummy.
How long have you guys been married?
Well, we're coming up to 18 years now.
There you go.
Yeah.
So she knows that you're the guy with the funny quirks, and you got kind of a rough start, but here you are.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you guys.
Now, Johnny, you've been all over the world with Johnny and Friends, ministering, speaking, encouraging, preaching, teaching, handing out wheelchairs, doing it all. Do you think there's much of a difference between disabled folks here in North America versus the impoverished nations?
Oh, believe me, Drew, I think people with disabilities in Canada and in the United States, and for that matter in Western Europe as well, I think that we just don't realize how blessed we are, because as I travel to countries like Cuba and Peru and Albania and Ukraine and Guatemala and China, when I look at the plight of people with disabilities in less developed nations, I always come back to North America and I breathe this sigh of relief, oh Lord Jesus, you have blessed me so much. But, you know, we're told in the Gospel of Luke, to whom much is given, much shall be required. To whom much is entrusted, much shall be demanded. I have been blessed so much, Drew, and that means I have to pass on the blessing. I just can't hoard it. I just can't keep it to myself. I have got to invest every ounce of my physical and emotional and spiritual energy into alleviating the suffering and affliction among people with disabilities in other parts of the world. So we work hard to deliver wheelchairs and Bibles. We take physical therapists to countries around the world. We train other families and people in hospitals and rehab clinics on the latest and newest techniques for physical therapy. We just do everything we can. We hold retreats for families affected by disability in parts of Eastern Europe and in China, and we're working hard to partner with God to console the dying and comfort the afflicted and just lighten the load a bit. I've been blessed so much, and I just got to pass on the blessing to others who are in less fortunate circumstances than I am.
Does Johnny Erickson Tata ever get bugged at the able-bodied, selfish, navel-gazing, woe-is-me, sucky-pants culture out there?
Well, I don't know what it is about us in North America, but I think we all live in kind of a bubble, if you know what I mean. I'm not saying that I've got the complete picture of what the global state of affairs is among people with disabilities, but I do serve the United States State Department and Condoleezza Rice on her Disability Advisory Committee, and recently we were working with the United Nations in hammering out this new international law called the UN Treaty on the Rights and Dignity of Persons with Disabilities. And as I see and read the plight, I mean, these are government reports where it says that 97% of children with disabilities living in developing nations, 97% of them are sexually abused, physically abused, locked in institutional warehouses, or often starved to death. This happens a lot. If a child with a severe disability is born, he is left to starve to death. So the conditions over there are so heartbreaking that you're right. Sometimes I think, you know, friends, come on. You want to grab folks by the scruff of the neck and shake them by their shoulders and say, we have been so blessed here in North America. We have been given so much. Let's practice a little bit of Christianity with its sleeves rolled up and work overtime to alleviate the heartache we see in other parts of the world. Plus, give the good news of Jesus Christ where the lasting, eternal hope and help can be found.
Very well said. All right. I know we're running out of time, so I want to ask you sort of some tiny talent time interview questions here, all right? Are you ready?
Okay.
We'll breeze through these real quick.
I'm ready.
What can't you do that you just wish you could?
Oh, paint.
You can paint.
What? No, with my mouth. That's different. I wish I could paint with my hands.
Right.
You
wish you could paint like your dad.
Yes. You know, there's just some brush strokes that mouths were never intended to do using a brush holding between the teeth. And I wish I had the flow and fluidity of, just taking that brush. I wish I could paint a mural. Put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Heaven. Do you think you'll finally be able to paint that mural there or maybe be able to ride?
Oh, I'm not just going to paint the mural. I'm going to jump up out of this wheelchair. I'm going to hop, skip, dance, do aerobics. I've already reserved I don't know how many jitterbugs and waltzes and square dancing and foxtrotting and name it.
Now, hold on. Hold on. That must be the non-Baptist part of heaven that you'd be going to.
Well, you know, all the good things about earth are only hints and whispers and omens and foreshadowings of even greater, more glorious things in heaven. So I think there'll be a lot of dancing and a lot of running and jumping. And, hey, if we're going to come back with the Lord Jesus on white horses, as it's explained in the book of Revelation, then you know I'm going to be able to hop on a horse and go racing across a meadow anytime I want. I think heaven is going to be full of those kinds of surprises.
Were you riding when you were a teenager?
Yeah, I used to ride, and I trained thoroughbreds for show jumping.
Right.
And did a lot of that. I don't know how I didn't break my neck doing that.
Yeah.
That would have been a lot more classy than just diving into shallow water.
That's right.
But as it is, yep, I rode then, and I hope to, again, one day ride in heaven.
Were you more nervous being on the Drew Marshall Show or Larry King?
Oh, fun. Oh, that's such a cute question, Drew. Well, to be quite honest, I wasn't nervous.
No, I didn't sense an ounce of nervousness in you on Larry King. Not an ounce.
No, I wasn't nervous, and I'm not nervous with you, and I guess that's because...
You've done this about 6 million times?
No. I just believe in what I'm saying.
Right.
I mean, I'm so convinced of the graciousness of God. I so want to pass on the message. I get so pumped, so excited about passing on the blessing and the encouragement to others, that it just dissipates any nervousness or worry or anxiety that there might be. I guess I'm not looking at myself so much as thinking, hey, there's somebody out there that's really struggling, really, really trying to make ends meet emotionally, and maybe, just maybe, I can give some insight from God's Word or from my experience, that would encourage weak hearts. And I guess that's the perspective I had with Larry King, and it's the perspective I have today with you.
Yeah, very well said. Final quick question. What is the one thing that you wish the able-bodied community would understand about the disabled community?
Oh, that we're not cripples or invalids, but that we're just people who happen to have spinal cord injury, the woman who just happens to have multiple sclerosis. I think sometimes people look at me in this wheelchair, and they see the wheelchair, and they forget that it does not define me. I am a woman with a husband. I have hopes and dreams. I have perspectives on current events. I have favorite memories. I'd like to tell you about the latest books I've been reading. You know, there's more to me than this wheelchair. And so I would just wish that folks would look at people with handicapping conditions and see that we're people first who just happen to have that wheelchair or white cane or walker.
Well, I would love to interview your husband, Ken. I think that would be just a highlight for me, highlight.
One day we'll do it.
I'd appreciate that. Listen, johnnyandfriends.org is the name of the website, johnnyandfriends.org. Of course, a tremendous book, The God I Love, can be purchased there, and, of course, Christian bookstores and pretty much anywhere. The God I Love by Johnny Erickson Tada. Johnny, I know you do so many of these, but I do appreciate you spending some time here on The Drew Marshall Show.
Oh, Drew, you're the best, and greetings and warm wishes to all our friends listening across Canada.
Thank you, Johnny.
Take care.
Bye-bye now. What a woman, huh? Inspirational, to say the least. Well, folks, we'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.